Welcome everyone now to this short afternoon service following on from our church picnic. We commence with singing praise to God from Psalm 5. And we sing the first five verses of Psalm 5. The tune is St. Dunstan, 235. Psalm 5. Listen to my words, O Lord, and my sighs before you lay. Hear my cry, my King, my God, help me, for to you I pray. Stanza 3, it says, truly, you are not a God who in evil takes delight. Evil will not dwell with you, nor the proud stand in your sight. And there is evil within all of us, and God's saving purpose is to remove that evil by the work of His Spirit in this life. God will deal with the evil within us, and it will be completely removed at death. So let us sing in praise to God from Psalm 5, the first five stanzas, the tune 235. We'll stand to sing and then remain standing for short prayer. Speak to God in prayer now. Father in heaven, we praise you that you're a God who is altogether free from sin, and we praise you that you always will be. We thank you, Lord, that you have planned that in your home there will be no evil. We praise you, Lord, for the encouragement it is to know that all who trust in Christ will be delivered completely from the evil that lives within us, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We praise you for the prospect of eternal life, free from sin, and we praise you, Lord, for what you have planned and purposed. We ask for your help now in this time of worship. Pray that you will speak to us through your word and remind us of what you call us to, and the evil that you call us to leave behind. Work in our hearts, we pray. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read from God's word. If you'll turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to read part of this second chapter, Paul's letter to the Philippians, page 1043 in our church Bible. Philippians chapter 2, and reading from the beginning. This is God's word. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then at verse 19, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." And we'll end our reading there at verse 21 of Philippians chapter 2. And I want to speak just for a little while this afternoon on the subject of selfishness. Selfishness is a sin that affects all of us, in different ways. It shows itself in different ways in different people. Selfishness is something that we're more apt to see in others than we are to see it in ourselves. And sometimes it's very obvious. You can see selfishness in very young children, how they do not want to share, that it's mine and you're not getting it. You see selfishness among those who are young and successful. Pop stars and film stars are often quite ridiculous in their self-centeredness. And they display an attitude that no one really matters other than themselves. You get the same kind of thing in some professional sports people. It's just about themselves. But selfishness is not something that disappears as you get older in life. And selfishness is found in older people also. Older people can be guilty of thinking only of themselves and losing interest in what's happening in the world around them and in the lives of other people. Selfishness is something we find in the Bible condemned. The prophets often speak against the selfishness of God's people. It's easy to see selfishness when it's in others. But we're not so good at seeing our own selfishness. And we can be guilty of selfishness in a variety of ways. It can show itself, for example, in our words. Some people show selfishness because they talk so much about themselves. Other people show selfishness in an absence of consideration in the words that they use. Selfishness shows itself in words. It also shows itself in our use of time. Selfish person likes to keep their time for themselves. And that is a sin. As Christians, our time is not our own, and it has a higher purpose than just serving our own ends. We can show selfishness in our words and how we use our time. We can show selfishness also in terms of our money. God has been generous to all of us. He always ensures that we have enough, and usually that we have more than enough. Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, that we will be made rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. But selfishness doesn't lend itself to generosity. And there's a loving of self that shows itself in a holding on to what we have. And so we need to be aware of the selfishness that lurks in our own hearts. It will manifest itself in all sorts of ways. But I want to speak about the beauty of unselfishness, and to think of what a good thing it would be to be known for our unselfishness rather than our selfishness. And I want to just mention a few characters in the scriptures where we see their unselfishness and we see it as a good thing. And three characters in the Old Testament and then two in the New Testament. First of all, Abraham. In Genesis 13, we're told of an occasion when it was necessary for Abraham and Lot to separate because the land wasn't able to support the flocks and herds of both of them. Abraham says to Lot in verse 9, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Abraham was the older man. He had the right to choose where he would go. But he said, "No, you take your choice." And he was unselfish. And he had the faith to believe that although he didn't get first choice, whatever he was left with, that God would bless him abundantly in that. A commendable unselfishness in Abraham. Think also of Moses. There was a time when his young assistant, Joshua, was greatly concerned because there were two prophets who were prophesying in the camp, and they hadn't gone to the tabernacle as the others had. And Joshua thought they should be forbidden from doing this. Moses replies to him, Numbers 11, 29. He says, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, Moses was not one for selfishly guarding privileges for himself. He was happy to see God speaking through other men. And what was important to Moses wasn't that Moses was the speaker, but that God's word was being heard. And so there's a commendable unselfishness in Moses. Then think also of Jonathan. Jonathan, son of Saul, king's son, he would have been expected to be the next king of Israel. But he grasps that that is not the will of God. He comes to understand and accept that God has appointed David to be the king after Saul. And in 1 Samuel 18, verse 4, we're told that Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. And these were special and treasured possessions that he was handing over, and he was willingly passing on the right to reign onto David. A complete lack of selfishness in Jonathan. He rejoiced that God had this purpose in mind for his friend, even when it meant that it wasn't for him. And then in the New Testament, we read just briefly in Philippians chapter 2 about Timothy. Timothy is someone who is noted for his unselfishness. And Paul has very high words of commendation for Timothy as he intends to send him to Philippi. And he says in verse 20 and 21, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." And Paul is commending Timothy as an exceptional servant. He wasn't a man who looked out for his own interests. He was always looking out for the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is this commendable unselfishness in Timothy. And Paul has great confidence in him because he knows that he's not a self-centered man. But then the ultimate example of unselfishness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul reminds us of the Lord Jesus in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And the Lord Jesus himself taught us that he didn't come into this world to be served, but to serve. And that was seen in his whole life. And the Lord Jesus was unselfish with his words. He was unselfish with his time, and he was unselfish with his wealth. Jesus gave himself in serving others. Jesus spent time with those that other people would have passed by or would have ignored. The Lord Jesus, even when he was going to his death and all that that meant to him, he was stopping to help the needy, and he was thinking of others and what his death would mean to them. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And among all the things in which we're to follow our Lord Jesus Christ is his unselfishness. We are called to be unselfish. Selfishness comes naturally to us, but God calls us to unselfishness. The world will tell you that you only live once, that you need to get as much as you can for yourself in the short life, short time that you have. And Jesus instead tells us that whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for him will find it. And we're called upon to believe what our Lord tells us rather than believing what the world tells us. And we are to follow the one who said, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." That's what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unselfishness, utter devotion to his Father, determination to do the will of God. And so let us seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his unselfishness. And let us seek to repent of the selfishness that is within each one of us. Amen. Well, just speak to God now in prayer. Stand to pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for the God that you show yourself to be in the Scriptures. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the life that he lived. We thank you for the way in which he gave himself. And we praise you that he didn't spare himself. And we pray, O Lord, that you will help us to strive to follow that unselfishness that we see throughout the life of our Lord Jesus. We confess, O Lord, our selfishness. We confess that we think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We think of ourselves more often than we ought. And we give ourselves a higher priority in our thinking than we ought to. And we pray, O Lord, that you will work by your Holy Spirit within us. Help us, O Lord, to see our sin and to confess our sin and to repent of our sin. And we pray, O God, that you will enable us more and more to have that mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. We praise you for the beauty of unselfishness. We thank you for those characters we read of in Scripture and those great servants of yours that we can read of who have lived in more recent times. And we praise you, God, for how we our hearts warm when we read of that unselfishness in people and how they have given so much and have not held on to their own lives for themselves. And Lord, we pray that you will put that desire in our heart, put that willingness in our hearts, O Lord. We return thanks to you for today. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for a lovely warm day and for the opportunity to have our church picnic. We pray, Father, as we draw near to the end of the summertime, for your help in the times that lie ahead. We pray that you will give wisdom, and we pray, Lord, that you will build your church and that you will do wonderful things, O Lord. We pray for people who have no thought of you, no inclination towards you, and we pray that you will be turning hearts towards yourself and that you will be opening people's mouths in worship and praise and building your church, O Lord, to your own glory. We give thanks that we can look to you, and we pray that you will be with us through the remainder of today and into the days to follow. Lord, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise Psalm 131. We use the B version of the psalm using the tune Humility, number 100. 131b. My heart not haughty is, O Lord, nor lifted up my eye. I am not concerned with matters great or things for me too high. And these are commendable things. The person who is selfish is haughty and concerned with things that are beyond them. So let us sing God's praise then. 131b, the tune 100. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.